Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
And good morning. This is Debbie Verney.
And good morning. This is J. Marie Schaefer.
And we're two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next hour to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. You could be our very first caller at 518-476-5900. Not only that, they could be the first caller of the year, right? At 518-476-5900. Good morning, Jamarie.
Good morning. How was your New Year's?
It was good. You know, very low-key. I think everybody's was pretty low-key. Everybody's kind of like hung at home.
That's right. Very low-key. Not much going on, but it's nice. Nice to be home with family.
That's true. It's true. So, you know, I see that there were a lot of restaurants that were open that, you know, had dinners and stuff like that. But other than that, with no one at the ball going down in New York City or anything like that, it was kind of weird.
That was where we turned on to that TV station, and my husband was like, "Oh, there's no people there. It looks terrible." You know, it really reminds you of what a difference it is, right?
Yeah, definitely. So now would have been the time to go, right?
Yeah, that's right. The problem with the New Year's Eve is I went once, and once you get in, they don't let you out again. So there's no bathrooms. So.
Yeah, that's not, no, definitely not. That would not be high on my hit parade. So, so starting off the new year right, we should start doing our estate planning, and we actually do have two webinars this week. We have two on Wednesday. We have Aging in Place at 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and we have Wills versus Trust at 2 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon. So that's a great opportunity for you that are still sitting at home, and click on, watch the webinar, get some information. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity, and maybe, we've had a little break. We were off around the holidays, but, you know, maybe you've talked to some relatives around the holidays. Maybe you're thinking about having them do estate planning, or it made you realize you need to do your own estate planning. So now you can come back and listen and get your questions answered.
Yeah, I got an email from one of the ladies I used to be in a networking group with, and she said, you know, my husband and I finally started talking about doing our estate planning, and she goes, and then his mother said, oh, wow, I need to update my estate plan, and then found out that her attorney had retired. And so it's kind of like a snowball effect. So now I did a Zoom meeting with her last week, and then I'm going to do a Zoom meeting with the mother, and then the mother's friend also went to the same attorney that retired. So it's kind of like a snowball effect. Once somebody starts talking about it, it kind of rolls downhill, and everybody's like, oh, well, I should do that too.
Yeah, no, that's good. People realize that. I have a family I'm working with. Their father died in the summer, I believe. And there's three children, and they're all doing their estate planning. And the brothers and the sister kept telling each other, come on, you got to do it, you got to do it. So I think I'm finally meeting with the third one. They eventually all came in to do it.
Well, it makes sense. It makes sense to get it done. That way, everybody knows that they need to update them at the same time if something happens, right?
Yes, that's right, because they're all pointing, you know, each other in various documents. So. But it's good that they're all doing it together and they're talking about it, so that's great.
Yeah, when I was home for Christmas, my mom kept saying, well, you know, I could do this or I could do that in my house, but I've decided that I'm just not going to do it and you can deal with it when I'm gone. I'm like, great, Mom, thanks. You know, like, what a great conversation to have over the holidays. But, yeah, you know, it's one of the... Yeah, so, I mean, we were talking about it, and she's like, no, you know, everything's all set. Everything's great and wonderful. And so it's good to know that she's prepared and she's all set. But, you know, a lot of people are not.
Right, no, a lot of people don't have anything done, and then that really... It makes it hard for your children, so that's something that you should think about. Maybe that'll be the incentive to get you to do it, right? If you leave things in a mess, you know, unorganized or in a mess, and you don't have it everything listed out for your kids, that's hard. But if you don't have a will, you're going to leave it up to a non-probate, right, administration. And that means your kids have to go to court, and it's pretty difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you may go the way you wanted it to go anyway, but then who's going to be in charge, right? Do you have a specific child that you wanted to be in charge? And you don't want people saying, well, I could be the executor, and they're a person that definitely should not be the executor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. That means you don't get to choose who's in charge. And usually when you talk to people, they have an idea of who would be the best one to be in charge. And that's the person you want to put in first place. But you can put them in different places and orders. We always get into good discussions about that if you have more than one child. So you can have someone being a backup to the first choice and then a backup to the second choice. And sometimes people go in age order, which is kind of easy, but sometimes people, you know, go out of age order. They pick the person who lives nearby rather than the person who lives out of state.
Well, age order isn't necessarily the best thing to do. I always, when I meet with people, I'm like, okay, so, well, I'm going to name the oldest does this, this, and this. Well, you know, does the oldest, can they balance a checkbook? Do they, you know, are they available to take care of things? Because when you're starting to pick an executor or a trustee, you need to pick someone that's actually, number one, wants to do the job, and number two, has the ability to do the job.
That's right. And you should also talk to them ahead of time, right? Before you name them, I always encourage them, well, go talk to your children, make sure they know that you're picking them, make sure that they want the job, right? Maybe there's some reason why they think they couldn't do it that you don't know about. So it's good to have open communication with the family so everyone knows who you picked and who's in charge.
Debbie, Jay Marie.
Yes.
We have our first caller of 2021. It's Carol in Schenectady.
Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. Thank you for this nice service. Because it is the first of the year, are there any new changes for estate planning for this year?
Well, there is going to be later in the year a new power of attorney form. I don't have a lot of details on that, but I can tell you it's a shorter form. It's supposed to be easier to understand than the long form we currently use. So we'll be talking more about that later in the year.
Okay.
And then no other estate planning changes. There's a change in the Medicaid rules. That there's going to be a look-back period for community Medicaid services where you have a 2.5-year look-back period if you're applying for community Medicaid. So those are two of the biggest changes that I can think of that's coming up for 2021.
Now, the durable power of attorney is the same rules as the regular power of attorney?
Yeah, it's going to be the same rules. It's just going to be a different form that's going to be shorter. I don't know if you have one. The current one that we have is about 14 pages long right now. And the new one is going to be a lot simpler and a lot shorter. So I imagine once that gets out and we look at it, some people may want to switch to the easier one.
Okay. Yeah, I signed the long form for a durable power of attorney. So that'll just stay in place, right?
Oh yeah, those will still be valid. Yeah, they're not going to be invalid. But you know, if the new one is shorter and easier to use at different places, you know, it's something to think about. You may want to do a shorter one.
Okay. Is there a difference? A change?
No, there's no change in the laws about it. It's just a change in the form.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Happy New Year.
Oh, that's right. See, it's the day after New Year. Say that.
The day after New Year. So question, Jean Marie. So if I already have a power of attorney, I have the long form, and like you were saying, it's just going to be easier. So people, it's going to be grandfathered in, so they're not going to have to do the new one if they don't want to. Why would you think people would want to do the new one?
Just because I've had so many clients tell me that they don't understand it at all. They try and read it. The language is just beyond them. And also, sometimes we have problems with banks accepting them. Even though they're legal, sometimes you have to go through a couple different people at a bank to get them to accept the form. And I don't know for sure about thinking if this new form is easier to read and it's shorter, it may be more easily acceptable at banks.
Well, I think it makes sense. I mean, we're definitely getting a lot of pushback on the ones that were done before 2009. A lot of the banks are refusing to accept the really old ones that were done before the law changes in 2009.
Probably because they just haven't, the younger people that haven't seen that form, maybe.
Exactly.
but yeah, also they don't like to accept an old power of attorney, even though it's valid. So if you have one that's more than 20 years old, maybe it doesn't hurt to have a new one so it has a newer date, you know, it's updated. That sometimes that helps with the bank. If you're using an older one, they'll want, sometimes it's called an affidavit, a full force of effect. It's an affidavit that you sign, right, that says, all right, even though this power of attorney was done in like 1992, it's still valid and it's still in force.
Right. We have had, especially for closings, a lot of people have had to do those for real estate closings.
That's right. That's right, because they don't know if the one they're getting has been revoked or changed since it was signed. So that's another good reason to have a new power of attorney.
Okay, so if you guys want to be our second caller of the new year, the phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900, and you could be our second caller. Jay Marie and I would love to talk to you about estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning, basic legal information if you want to give us a call. It's interesting, the real estate market, it has gone crazy with the lower rates, and it's kind of interesting to see that our real estate department was still really, really busy up to the last day of the year trying to get all those closings in this year.
I know, that's crazy. Normally, real estate's busier over the summer, and it slows down in the winter, but there's been no slowdown at all leading up to the new year. So, you know, people, are, like you said, they're taking advantage of the new rates. There's also people moving here from the city or other crowded areas, right, because of COVID, and that's just raised the housing prices. I've heard of a few clients said that they were in bidding wars for houses. Which is crazy. It doesn't happen that often up here, right?
No, but it's happening, and I think that's great if you're trying to sell your house. If you're trying to buy a house, it maybe is not such a great thing because then you're bidding against somebody else. But, I mean, we have Dan and Terry. They're basically our real estate department. Doesn't mean that we don't help out with things, but they've been busy, really crazy busy.
Yes, they have been very, very busy. You know, it's like you said, it really helps the sellers. We've had a lot of clients selling their houses out of their trusts, right? And that's a question I get a lot from clients is they put their house in a trust to protect it for Medicaid purposes, and then they don't understand, like sometimes they think they can't sell the house after they put it in the trust, and that's not true, right?
Right, and it's interesting, too. A lot of people think that once they put the house in the trust, it's not theirs anymore. I had clients that called me up and said, okay, so now I've transferred my house to the trust, and so now I don't have to pay the taxes anymore, right? So the trustee has to pay the taxes. They have to pay the homeowner's insurance. I'm like, no. You unfortunately still have to pay those expenses, and because you're paying those expenses is why you still get your exemptions, right? Your STAR, your senior STAR, and all those exemptions.
Yeah, that's right. You don't lose any of those exemptions when you put the house in the trust. Yeah, it would be great if you put the house in the trust and your kids had to pay the taxes. But that's not the way it works, right?
That's a good idea, right?
That would be a good idea, to have Zach pay your taxes for you.
I think it's like, guess what, Zach? You're my trustee, and bonus, you have to pay my taxes now.
They can say I don't want the job, right?
Exactly. Be like, yeah, no, I'm out.
Debbie, J. Marie, we have another caller. We have Barb from Westmere.
Good morning, Barb.
Good morning, and Happy New Year to everyone. I have a question. It's regarding life insurance. If a beneficiary receives life insurance as part, you know, of an estate, do they have to claim that on their income tax return?
No. No, it's not income. Okay. So it wouldn't be something you would claim on your income tax return. If there was interest that was credited to it after, then you might have to claim that on your income tax return so you didn't claim it for a while. But other than that, no, it's not taxable.
Okay. And does the estate of the deceased have to file a final income tax return if they haven't filed in the past 5 years due to insufficient income?
That's a good question.
You're looking at two different tax returns. So for the person, the deceased, they have to file a final income tax return. But if they didn't have enough money to file previously, then you won't have to file in the final year. And then there's possibly an estate income tax return, but that's only if the money in their estate was earning interest or dividends. You know, and generally you have to have a lot of interest. You have to have more than $600 of interest or dividends to file a tax return. Okay. So that's probably, most estates won't have that.
All right. And then I was co-owner on my mom's very small bank accounts. And when she passed, because I was co-owner, I received that money. Do I have to pay taxes on that? Is that considered income?
No. If it's a joint account, it's not considered income. But, again, kind of going back to what Jane Marie said, it was in her Social Security number or yours?
It was in her Social Security number.
Yeah, so you'd have to look at the taxes, if it generated any income, as to whether the tax return would have to be filed for her.
Okay. In previous years, she and I were co-owners for 5 years, and she never got an interest statement on her checking accounts.
Yeah, so then it probably isn't an interest-bearing checking account, so it's probably not an issue.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, and have a wonderful new year filled with health, happiness, and love.
You too. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Those are great estate administration questions, huh, Jane Marie?
Yeah, they are. Those are pretty typical of the questions we get. People have a lot of questions when someone passes away. There's always issues about taxes and bank accounts and, you know, if you have any of those questions, you can give us a call. We can help you out. We have webinars on that. I think one you've done, Debbie, or, well, we've all done it, What to Do When a Loved One Dies.
Right.
That answers some of those questions. That's a good one to listen to. I think, well, we definitely have that coming up this month, but you could also go on our website and it's, you can listen to it, a pre-recorded one from when we did it in the past.
Right, and that's the thing, too. If you don't have time to go to one of the live webinars, which we have them every Wednesday at 10 and 2, and then we have a week of webinars where we have a webinar every day during the week at 2 in the afternoon, they're all pre-recorded. You can go on our website at www.herzoglaw.com, and you can log on, and you can look to see exactly what's going on, right? So you can watch it at your leisure, really, because you can pause it, kind of like Netflix. I always say that. It's like Netflix. You can pause it, go get a snack, get something to drink.
Sorry, come back.
Or get paper to take notes. Yeah. So it's a great opportunity to get free legal information.
And we're going to give some free legal information right now because we have Rachel from Albany on the line.
Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. My question is, my mom is trying to get a trust set up. She wants to put her ex-husband's pension in there. What are the terms of a trust? How much money has to be put in to open a trust? She's disabled. And how long does she have to keep it open? And is there a minimum that she has to put in it?
So I think you're talking about income, right, for a trust?
Well, yeah, she's trying to qualify for Medicaid.
Okay. Well, just in general, there's like trust. There's two types of trust. You can have a trust that you put your assets into, like your house or your bank account. Then there's another trust that's used when you're applying for Medicaid that you can put your income into. And that's a, yes. It sounds like that may be what she needs. And that's a pooled supplemental needs trust. And those okay. trusts are run by nonprofit organizations. And you put your money into that, your excess money into that, so you can qualify for Medicaid, because if you're at home, Medicaid only lets you have a certain dollar amount per month. So it sounds okay. like that's what she needs. And those nonprofit trusts, there's no minimum to open them. They do have an enrollment fee that's like $200-$300, and then they have a monthly administrative fee, which isn't too high. So that's what those types of trusts are. NYSARC is the one that we use most often up here. NYSARC, the NYSARC Trust, and either you can find it online, or if you want to call us on Monday, we can give you more, detailed information about them.
Can she put her ex-husband's pension from New York State in there?
Yeah, she could. She could. It really depends on what her
spend down is. She knows that he's retired, but she doesn't know how to get to find out if he's actually receiving the money. Can she call them? Or
She's not actually getting the pension yet?
She doesn't know how to get it.
Oh, so that's a different question. The trust won't know how to help you with that. She'd have to call New York State to see what she can get that way.
Okay. But there's a dollar amount, the maximum, to put in this trust for NYSARC.
There's no maximum amount. Whatever. If she calls and she finds out she's getting, a certain, $1,000 or whatever for the pension, she can put that in this trust.
How does she, say if she does end up going back to work, can she stop the trust, or how does that work?
Yeah, if she goes back to work and she doesn't need Medicaid anymore, then she could stop putting money in the trust.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help and all that you do.
You're welcome.
You
have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, those are great questions as far as planning for NYSARC Trust for Medicaid. I mean, she said she was disabled. You know, there's a lot of difference looking at a NYSARC Trust and also maybe looking at a special needs trust, I'm thinking.
Yes, that's true. If you want to have your own trustee, that's a private trust. I call it a private trust, right, rather than run by a nonprofit organization. Yes, so that may be appropriate, too, or she could have her daughter be the trustee and put money in the trust that way.
Right, that's something she could think about, too. But, there's so many different things out there. It's very difficult to give people information. We can only give generic information whenever we're talking on the radio because we don't know the specifics. And a lot of times people don't even know what they're eligible for. We've had people that come in, and after they fill out our client questionnaire, we sit down with them and we start asking them questions. They're like, what? I can do what? Really? Are you sure? So that's why we do offer free consults. So if it's something where you want to come into the office, you want to meet with one of the attorneys, you could give the office in Albany a call, which is 518-465-7581, and Stacy's at extension 126. She could put time on any of our calendars for a phone conversation or a Zoom consultation, or we actually are doing in-person consultations too.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it's very difficult, like you said, to determine what the right trust is without knowing all of the details. So that's, really a good idea. Come in for a free consultation. We'll look at everything that you have. We have a questionnaire that you need to fill out before you come in. And that really helps us give advice specific to your situation.
Right, because everybody's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Everyone has different families, right? Some people have children that all get along. Some people have kids that don't get along. That's right. Pretty common, right? So
it is.
So sometimes we need to try and plan for that ahead of time. If you know that your kids aren't getting along, maybe we can think of some ways to make the planning a little bit easier
Well, a lot of times people want certain children to get the house, right? And so what they'll do is they'll put language in the trust that says, okay, Sally gets the camp on, you know, Pasico Lake, and then everybody else gets an amount equal to that in cash, right? Because they know the rest of the kids really have no interest in the camp. So then the executor or trustee gets an appraisal done on the camp, and then let's just say Sally, the camp is worth $300,000. Well, she just got a $300,000 gift, so we have to equal it out with the other kids. So hopefully if there's enough cash in the trust, it's not an issue. If not, then Sally's going to have to get a mortgage.
That's right. She's going to have to pay her brother and sisters for her share, for their share, sorry, of the camp, right? Unless the parents, and that's up to the parent. I mean, if you want it to be equal, you can. But differently, sometimes the kid is living with the parents and taking care of them. And the parent may say, all right, this child gets the house, even though it may not be equal. I want to give them the house because they're living with me.
Right. There's a certain value there, and I think that the parent really needs to be upfront with the other kids, because a lot of times that's the problem that we run into when the parent dies, right? The kids come in and they say, it's not fair. She was living with mom and dad. She wasn't paying any expenses and blah, blah, blah. And so why should they get more when they've been living free and easy all this time?
That's right, but the answer usually is it's not free and easy. Do you want to move in and take care of mom? See how easy it is, right? So there's usually a discussion there about how hard it is, how much work she's doing, right, and how she should get compensated.
Exactly, and people don't understand. It's not easy to take care of a loved one if there's somebody that needs help, right, that needs to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. You have to get up with them. You have to cook. You have to clean. Take them to the doctor. It's not easy.
No, it's a lot of work. And, you know, sometimes that's why that child deserves more, either more cash or the house or something like that.
Right, and they've saved all this money because they haven't had to pay for care coming into the home, right, so that the other people could get their part of the estate. So you need to think a lot about that before you start, you know, yelling and screaming, you know, throwing temper tantrums. They got more.
That's right. That's right. And I think we're coming up to our break in the middle of the show.
Matter of fact, just as you mentioned that, we are coming up to 8:30 right now. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate Medicaid Planning Hour coming up. Right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and Flatbush Road in Kingston. Our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back for the second half hour of the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour. I'm Debbie Verdi.
And I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And we're two of the attorneys here at the Herzog Law Firm. And you could be our first caller of the new year in the second half. I'd like to throw that out there, right? At 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Ben can put you on, and we can answer your questions. We've had great questions the first half hour.
Definitely, great questions, really. You know, I think it's the girls that are doing it. You know, I'm filling in for David today. If David was here, you wouldn't get any calls, Debbie.
Well, no, the only time when I'm with Dave that we get a lot of calls is when he threatens to, like, sing or something like that. And then I'll like, please, somebody call, and they will. So, but yeah, definitely. We'd love for you to give us a call at 518-476-5900. Ask us about estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. It's interesting. The Medicaid planning has been huge this year because we've been trying to get people in under the wire for community Medicaid because there's a lot of people that need help at home. They don't realize that community Medicaid is available to pay for care at home.
Right. That's something people are always surprised. I mean, surprised in a good way to find out that you can get home care and Medicaid will pay for it. And up until now, it's been really easy to get it because there's no look-back period. So if you have too many assets in your name, you can create a trust, put your assets in the trust, and then apply for community Medicaid. However, there's a new rule that came in that says there's a 2.5-year look-back period before you could apply for community Medicaid. Now, that rule was supposed to take effect October 1st. It got pushed back to January 1st, and it got pushed back to April 1st. So we've had some room to play with that. So we do have the first 3 months of the new year to help you out with that. And, you know, they may extend it again or they may not. You know, there's no guarantee. So you really need to be aware of that rule. And if you're thinking of community Medicaid, get in and talk to one of us so we can help you.
Debbie, Jay Marie, we have another caller. We have John in Hoosick.
Good morning, John.
Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. My question is on durable. My wife being into.
I think we've got a problem. Hang on, John. I think we've got a problem with your phone. Would you hang up and dial back? I'll answer that phone, and we'll get you right back on, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Let's have him call back while you guys are chatting there.
Yeah, he was cutting in and out.
Yes, he was. Yeah, it's hard for you guys to answer a question if you can't hear half of it. So let's see if we can get that taken care of.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so, that's great.
Now, with community Medicaid, they're going to phase it in, kind of like they did the rules in 2006?
Yes, they're supposed to phase it in, so it's not like it's 2.5 years right on April 1st. On April 1st, they'll look back. Well, this is a little complicated because the law took effect October 1st. So by April 1st, that's 6 months of bank records they'll need. And then right. On May 1st, it'll be 7 months. So it's gradually coming in until it gets up to 2.5 years.
Yeah, so it's not as easy as it used to be, but we can still do it.
Yes, that's right. It's going to really take some investigation because you have to calculate penalties. You have to look back. You have to get the bank statements and look at transfers and just like we have to do now for a nursing home application. You have to see how much was gifted, and then you see if there's a penalty for those gifts. And then we, you know, have different ways we could work around that.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize that there is a workaround. They feel like it's all or nothing. But even if someone still has a lot of money, same thing with community Medicaid for chronic care Medicaid, there's always generally a way that we can save some of their assets.
Yeah, there's a couple of different things we can do. One of the most common things we do is the rule of halves is where you can basically save about half of your money and then use the other half to pay for your care. We do that with a gift and a promissory note.
Right.
Sounds a little complicated, but at the end of the day, you don't have to give up all of your assets. You can save about half of them.
Yeah, and again, that's why we offer a free consult, because it's very difficult to give information over the radio if we don't know specifics. So we're happy to meet with you via Zoom, via phone, or actually in the office. And via Zoom and via phone, a lot of times we'll send the questionnaire out, people will fill it out, they email it back in, we can print it, and then it's more or less similar to meeting in person, kind of like we were doing back in March whenever everything was shut down. We were doing consults via Zoom and via phone.
Mm-hmm. That's right, except we weren't as expert at Zoom back then. Now we're all Zoom experts, right?
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, not for me anyway.
I think you're a Zoom expert now, Debbie.
I just, you know, Zoom, it's one of those things where, like with the other night when I was trying to do a Zoom with you, I had to remember to get off of my VPN where I was logged into my computer because the security wasn't letting me talk. So, you know, so it,
see,
you got to work through these things.
That's right. You wouldn't have known to say that 6 months ago.
No, I would have been like, why is this not working? But we'd love for you guys to be our next caller at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. I think we lost our last caller. I don't know if he's going to call back or not. We had really bad reception.
That's right. Maybe he can't get good reception. We do have webinars coming up this Wednesday, the first of the new year, 2021. And we have Aging in Place at 10 o'clock. That's a popular one, talking about how you can stay home, what resources there are in the community to keep you at home, you know, the legal ways you can plan to stay at home. And then at 2 o'clock, we have Wills versus Trust. And then that's another popular one because people don't always understand. They get confused. Well, if I have a will, do I need probate? And what does a trust do? So that explains all the differences about that one.
Debbie, J. Marie?
Yes.
We have John back on the line from Hoosick.
Awesome. Good morning, John.
Hi. Happy New Year again. My wife and I have an irrevocable trust, and we put a substantial amount of our savings into it. Hopefully, in a couple of years, we'll be able to add to it again. My question is on the look-back period. Is it from the whole entire amount that we put in, say, you know, to this present time, or is it the time we make another deposit? Thank you.
It's going to have a separate look-back, right? So when you set up the trust and you've funded it, the 5 years is running on that. So let's just say you set up the trust in 2020, so it would be protected in 2025. And if you put money in 2021, it wouldn't be protected till 2026. So it doesn't affect the look back period of the original asset. It's going to have its own separate little 5 year look back. So if something happened after the first 5 years was, say it happened between 2025 and 2026, the stuff from 2025 would be protected. The stuff from 2026, we'd have to look at, do we need to back some of it out to get you through that year to protect it? What do we need to do to preserve as much of the assets as we possibly can?
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a wonderful year.
You too. Take care. You know, the irrevocable trust, the people are supposed to get all the income that the trust generates, true. But sometimes when you leave the interest in, right, it's going to have its own five-year look-back period, too.
That's right, because you didn't take the interest. So it's actually as if you took the interest out and then you put it back in again. That's how Medicaid can look at it. So, you know, maybe small amounts, but you could be contributing small amounts each year if you don't take the interest.
Right. You still have to claim it on your taxes, though, unfortunately.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's interesting, and that's one of the intricacies a lot of people don't understand. They're like, but it's in the trust. It's like, yeah, but you still made money on it. You still got to pay taxes on it.
Yes, that's right. So unfortunately, you got to pay the taxes, so why don't you just take the interest then, right? So you have money to pay the taxes.
Or a lot of people will let it roll in there because they're like, well, you know, I wasn't going to take it anyway. I'll pay taxes on it, and then each year, you know, a little bit more of it will be protected.
Yes, so that's right. You don't need the money. You can let it stay in there and grow. It can be invested.
Just let it ride.
That's right.
like we were talking about the webinars, there are live webinars every Wednesday this month, and then we've got the week of webinars, which will start on January 18th. So webinar week is going to be Monday, January 18th is Aging in Place. The 19th is Answers to All Your Estate Planning Questions. The 20th is Elder Law Basics. 21st is Estate Planning in Prime Time. That's always a fun one that Dave does.
I think
Dave's doing that one anyway. Or, you know, it relates back to sitcoms and stuff. And I don't know if you've seen the news or not, but Marianne from Gilligan's Island passed away.
That's so sad.
I know. And Gilligan's Island is one of the ones that Dave talks about. So I think Ginger is the only one that's left, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. She would be, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure Dave will talk about that show.
I'm sure he'll talk about that in the show. But, you know, if you talk about estate planning, people are like, it doesn't make sense. But whenever you start talking about estate planning and you're relating it to TV, people are like, oh, that makes sense now. It's just kind of silly.
Because sometimes it's hard to picture these things that we're talking about just, you know, in the abstract, right? So if you can relate it to a TV family, then it really becomes clear what you should do.
Debbie, J. Marie. We have another caller. We have Leo from East Greenbush.
Morning, Leo.
Good morning. I have a nice, easy question for you, probably the easiest one of the day. So I used to have a trust, and I exhausted it. I took all the money out, and it's been out probably a year or two. Can I simply reactivate that by putting more money in, or what?
Yes, the trust is still, so you still have like the trust as a legal entity, kind of, it's a separate entity than you. So you can put more money into it anytime. So, you know, we don't advise taking money out and putting it back in, but you certainly can do that at any time. You would just need to open up a bank account in the name of the trust again, and then you could put money in that bank account, and that's how you could get money back in the trust.
Okay, well, thank you very much. See how easy that question was?
I know, we like the easy one.
It was easy, thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
You too, take care. So I guess my question to him would have been, why did you take the money out of trust?
Well, that's true, that's right.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like people, sometimes they think that they need to take money out of the trust. And I always say to them, if you have an irrevocable trust that you put money into and the time period is running, that's the last place you want to take money from.
Yeah, that's right. Because that's protected money. So you don't want to touch that money. If you need money, you want to look at the money outside of the trust first. So you need to spend that money first before you go into your protected money.
Well, but it depends on what kind of money it is, too. We'd have to look at it and say, okay, well, if the only thing you have outside of the trust is IRA money or whatever, you'd have to look at what the tax ramifications were for taking their distributions on that before you decide whether you're going to take the money out of the trust.
Right, that's true. You want to take into account the taxes, because anytime you take money out of an IRA, there's income tax on that. But sometimes, well, it depends on what you're using the money for. If you are using the money for medical expenses, you may have a medical expense deduction on your income tax return. And that could offset the taxes on the money that you took out from the IRA. So sometimes it washes out, you know, sometimes it doesn't.
Right. So it's one of those things where you can't just look at one side of it. You have to look at the whole picture to make sure that you're making the right decisions.
Right. You have to look at what do you need the money for, you know, which is the best place to take that money from. You know, you have to kind of have an idea if we're talking about income taxes of what your tax situation is, because there's rules on the medical deduction and the standard deduction. So, you know, it can be complicated. So that's why if you have a trust with us and you want to take money out, you should give us a call. We can go over those options with you. just a free phone call, or you could come in, we can meet with you for free, or do a Zoom call.
Yeah, definitely. And as I was saying before, people can always fill out the questionnaire and scan it and email it in. So we have the information in front of us, kind of like whenever you're filling out the questionnaire when you go into the doctors and they have you fill out all that information so that they can make a correct diagnosis. That's kind of like, that's what we need to do too. We need to make a correct diagnosis. So we're going to need that kind of information so that we can tell you what you need to do.
I always hate those questionnaires for the doctor.
I do too. I hate them, but unfortunately, you need to fill them out.
I know. It's usually like, well, thankfully for me, it's like usually no, 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 but they ask you all kinds of conditions. Do you have this? Do you have that?
Well, it's like the questions for the COVID-19 thing. You know,
that's right.
Have you been out of state? Have you been out of the country? Have you been? It's like we have a sheet that we fill out every day in our office, and we've got to make sure that everyone stays safe, and everybody has to fill it out.
That's right. Well, I've been some places where they don't go through all of them. They're like, the questions, right? Yes to any of them.
I know, exactly. No to all. But sometimes it makes you think about what your exposure could be. It's interesting, but we won't get into that. So if you want to give us a call, the phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. And we've got probably time for at least one or two calls before the end of the show, and we'd love for you guys to give us a call. And I thought I could probably give out the office number, too, because we keep saying, we do offer free consultations. So if it is something that you want to do, either in person, via Zoom, via phone, you could give Stacy in our office a call on Monday. I was trying to make sure we were all through all the holiday thing. Her phone number is 518-476. Isn't that awful? 46. Let's try this again. 518-465-7581, extension 126. Again, 465-7581, extension 126. I was going to give them Ben's number. He would have been calling Ben asking for Stacy.
That's right.
That's all right. I would have given her the right number. No problem.
Hey, that's what happens when you're on vacation for a week.
I was just going to say it's brain fog from just being away.
It is.
Oh, boy. Well, Ben does the show with us so often. He probably could give you some advice.
He probably could.
I could, yeah. I'm not one, but I do play one on the radio, so.
That's right.
Oh, and I have to go answer the phone because it looks like we have another caller. I'll be right back.
That's awesome. So, again, webinars this week at 10 and 2 on Wednesday. And also going to our website to see the pre-recorded webinars. It's a great opportunity to get some information. I'm trying to think, is there anything that we've missed?
Oh, let's see. Well, I don't think so. I mean, we did talk about the changes in the community Medicaid, and you need to keep up to date on that because, they postponed that to April, but I'm sure there's going to be more changes coming up this year. They haven't been able to put a lot of those rules into effect because of COVID. But as we're able to handle that, right, with the vaccines coming out, I'm sure they're going to turn their attention back to Medicaid cuts. And that's probably going to be at the top of their list to make cuts on. So there may be more changes coming this year.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have to save money somewhere. Medicaid is one of the biggest parts of the New York State budget that they spend money on. And they've been trying to reduce that spending every year for the past 10 years or so. I had someone ask me, there's a 7-year look back period. And, I'm sure you've gotten that too, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, nope, still 5.
That's right. Still 5. It's not 7 yet, but maybe it would be.
Yeah. Last time they changed it, though, when they changed it in 2006, they grandfathered everyone in that had their trusts in place. Boy, were we busy. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, but, you know, that's the thing, too. When people, when we have clients, we try to keep them up to date on the things that are going on. So if there is a big change, like when there was a big change in the power of attorney in 2009, we actually did seminars just on the changes to the power of attorney.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to keep you up to date on the changes so that your documents are always current, you know, through our newsletter or through seminars or whatever. We're going to let you know what laws have changed. And if it's something where you need to come in and do new documents, you know, we're going to let you know about that.
Definitely. We've got letters going out. We usually send out letters every 5 years when people's trusts are 5 years old. It's like, congratulations, whatever you put in your trust is now protected.
I like that. Yes, that's right. You've made it through the 5 years. Congratulations. You know, the 5 years goes by in a flash. Well, maybe I'm just old now, but doesn't it? Sometimes it goes by really quickly. Like, I could swear I just saw that client like last year, and it's already been a couple of years.
Debbie, Jane Marie,
yes.
We have another caller. We have Gloria in Stillwater.
Good morning,
Gloria.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to know about the special needs trust that someone talked about earlier. How long does it take to open one, and can you pay your rent and your cable from that?
Yeah, so you're talking about the pooled supplemental needs trust for income?
Yeah.
And okay. So that pooled trust, once you get the paperwork from the company, like if NYSARC is one that you can use, they open it pretty quickly, maybe 2-3 weeks, and send you, you know, a whole welcome binder that tells you how you can operate the trust going forward. And then usually you have disbursement requests, and you can submit a request for a disbursement from the trust. And it can be used to pay your rent or your utilities or your food. They do the turnaround of paying that pretty quickly, you know, probably a couple of days.
Okay. Now, is that the trust, like you said something about a private trust. Can I do that?
You could. I mean, it depends on, you know, your situation. So if you wanted to have your own supplemental needs trust, you could do that. Yeah. If you have someone in your family who could act as the trustee. You could set up a trust that way.
Would that still be able to qualify for Medicaid for a private trust or no?
Yeah, no, it still qualifies for Medicaid. So I would say that's done more often if you have assets that you need to put into the trust rather than the income every month, because the pool trust is pretty good at handling the income coming in and the disbursements going out. I mean, but you could do it on your own with your own trustee as well.
Would you be helping us do that if we called you, or we don't need an attorney for that?
We can help you with that. Some people find they can fill out the forms okay themselves. If not, we can help you do that. It's not really just the forms. It's kind of really explaining how everything works with putting the income in and your Medicaid qualifications. So we can offer help with that.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Again, it's really difficult to diagnose exactly what the situation is, because I think that there's a big difference between the pooled income trust for NYSARC and a special needs trust where someone is a trustee for, you know, for another person. And there's two different kinds of, well, there's more, but there's really specifically two kinds of special needs trusts, right?
Yeah, there's first party supplemental needs trusts and third party supplemental needs trusts. And then there's a question of whether you're using it for income or for assets. So, you know, it's a bit complicated, and it's, you know, without knowing your whole situation, we probably can't recommend which is the right trust for you. But we can have you come in. We can do a free consultation. I've also done webinars on planning for someone with special needs.
So oh, you have?
I have. That's right. So that's a good place to find out that information. That webinar is going to be probably is recorded on our website, so you could go there to listen to it. And that would explain a lot of the types of trusts. I know it explains all the different types of special needs trusts.
Right. I mean, that's a great idea. It gives you more information. So kind of like what Gloria should probably do, if I was Gloria, and I wanted more information because we're obviously not open this weekend, I would go on our website, which is www.herzoglaw.com, and I would look at the webinar on aging in place, which kind of goes into Community Medicaid and the NYSARC Trust. And then I would watch the one on special needs trusts that Jane Marie did. It says planning with a planning for a person with special needs. That's where she talks about the supplemental needs trust.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. And that's kind of a good place to start. And then you still could call and ask and for a consultation where we could go over which one would be best for you.
Right, but it just general information. That might be a great place to start because it sounds like she's got a lot of questions and that might, it might give her an idea watching that as to what relates to her specific situation.
Yes, that's right. Give you some ideas of what, you know, is going to be good for you. You know, and the question is, are you already on Medicaid? Are you trying to qualify for Medicaid? So those are some other questions we would want to know.
Exactly. And so that's, I think a lot of people, whenever they watch the webinars, take notes because I've gotten calls from people that went, I watched the webinar and I was wondering about this or that. So it definitely gives you a good basis for the questions that you need to ask.
Yes, I've seen a lot of clients take notes or sometimes even come into the meeting with their slides, with their notes and questions on it.
And that's it for today. So Happy New Year, everyone, and we'll be back next week to talk to you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.